Metal Cough!
Hey, Biebs!
On a Thursday afternoon, we record this podcast. You might be listening to it Thursday. You might be watching it Thursday. It might be, you might have found, it might be 2024. And this is all that's left of the world, is this single podcast, an artifact of the civilization that was once here. If that's the case, leave us a review. We'll be the only person reviewed on iTunes in 2024. But until that happens, it's good to be here.
Yeah, leave a review. Leave your questions. It's good to be heard. Check out our Facebook page. Hope you guys, if you're listening to this, you know, you could be watching live on YouTube. If you're listening to this on Friday, hope you're having a happy Friday. Happy yeah. Friday.
Happy weekend. Little Friday.
Happy little Friday. I was driving to pick up some lunch at, you know, probably a couple hour and a half ago. And I heard our friend, good yeah. buddy, John Lund, was talking to Greg Papa.
Yeah.
And Greg brought up, you know, that we're 2 weeks away from the regular season starting. Because John was complaining about, you know, how he has to be in the office really early on Sunday for the pregame show. I'm like, God, that sucks. And then Greg's like, well, it's right around the corner. We got real football.
As we'll get to.
That sounds good.
When we get to our big week three preseason season preview coming up later, which John does not want to participate in this preseason preview. I'm insisting that we participate in this preseason preview. So we'll see in the battle of wills if we actually do a week three preseason preview later in the podcast today.
But, well, I think one thing we hang our hat on is being authentic. We don't just do topics for the most part that we think will work and we can get a fucking bunch of views if we don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And this is one where I feel a little fraudulent because I know even you personally, you're not going to watch any of these games, you know? And I know I won't really either. Now a couple, like Justin Fields is starting. I'll check that out if it's on TV.
Well, we're not going to do, John, here's the 9 things that interest me from Browns Falcons. I say we do it.
We'll do it.
I want to do it. And if you just don't talk the whole time because you don't want to talk about it, then that's your right, John. That's a personal decision that you're going to make.
How much preseason football have you watched this year beside the Niners?
I don't know. How much do I normally
watch? Not much. Just be honest. Not much, right?
No. I mean, I'm not watching regular season amounts of preseason, but I'm watching normal amounts of preseason, I think. You know?
Yeah, it's just on kind of in the background. If
on in the background, or you make a point to go back and watch NFL.com. There's a 6-minute highlight package. You watch until you notice the starters are out or the backup quarterback.
That doesn't count. That, to me, doesn't count. Going to their fucking website and watching.
Why?
No, because you wouldn't think about football. Turning to the channel when the game's on, but that, I'll go back and watch some Roethlisberger throws or whatever like that. To me, that
I'm an on-demand kind of guy.
Yeah, see, that does not.
I'm a modern man, John.
See, I know you, and because I'm the same. We're all the same.
I don't see what the issue is.
It's a little fraudulent. We're faking enthusiasm for games that we don't care about.
No, that's my point. I'm not going to, if we want to talk about a game for 8 milliseconds, then that's all we'll talk about it for.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Try to hang our hat on authenticity.
All right, here's what we do at the end of the show today. We go through the preseason schedule. You, between now and the end of the show, have to determine how many snaps a good over-under is for me, the preseason, air quotes, watcher. And then I'll see if I can come up with that many, if I can be interested in that many snaps through the combined entire week 3 preseason schedule, not counting Raiders Niners.
Okay, I got a number.
All right. Well, what's the number?
We'll save it till we talk about it.
All right. Well, we'll get to that then later in the show.
Okay.
It is a Tito's Thursday as we record this because, you know, yesterday was Tito's Wednesday. This show is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka, which is an awesome company, and it's easy to promote them because it's also an incredibly fantastic product, John.
It really is. It was developed by, we call him a friend, even though we've never met. We feel like we know him, Tito Beverage.
Not positive he knows we exist.
Yeah, might not, but we would love to meet him one day. If you're listening to this, Tito, holler at us, or hell, we'll holler at you. Just let someone know.
Yeah, just have your people call us directly because our emails are public.
Yeah, and we don't really have people. It's just us. But based in Austin, Texas, American-made. It's just, I don't know if you've known, Guy. I actually think you have an idea, but in the people listening, because you've probably heard us say, It's the number one. Spirit is the technical term. When you say vodka, the number one spirit in the United States of America. No big deal. And again, what was the drink of choice last week? It was the transfusion.
Yep.
We were alerted the ginger beer, ginger ale. It's all kind of the same thing. I was a little confused. I went with it, guy.
I didn't even realize what was happening the other day. I said ginger beer when I was talking about a transfusion, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
You've been saying that consistently because you drink.
Oh, I've been saying it the whole time. I haven't been saying
ginger
beer.
You've been saying ginger beers from the jump.
Okay, so when that happened, I didn't even realize that until just now. I thought I'd been saying ginger ale, and one time I said ginger beer. The one that I use is called Reed's, R-E-E-D-S, from Trader Joe's. And it says ginger beer on the bottle, so I guess I've been just reading the bottle, not realizing that I just kind of, for years, I heard ginger beer. I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was the same as ginger ale. It's not alcoholic. I think it's kind of the same, although from a little research I did after you and some listeners pointed out to me that I've been saying ginger beer, is that ginger beer is like brewed over several days and it has real ginger, and ginger ale might be like artificially sweetened. I'm not positive that's true. Ginger beer has a much stronger ginger taste.
Gotcha.
Turns out. And then somebody tweeted it's actually better if you're going to do a mule or something. That's what you want because you want that strong ginger taste. So you actually want a ginger beer is what the amateur mixologist told me on the internet. Maybe
not makes sense. So if you're going to make the transfusion, you just go an ounce of grape juice, you go 2 ounces of ginger beer, and you got to put a little lime, the squirter thing in there, as well as, you know, I go a couple ounces of Tito's, you know, trying to get that bad boy flowing.
Heavy pour middle cough?
Yeah, heavy pour. The Cache Creek, where they have a golf course called Yochidashi. I don't think that's exactly how you say it, but
didn't sound right.
They have, when I've gone there over the last couple months, I get Tito's and sodas, you know, 3 or 4 when I'm playing. They have this automatic pourer. That it only allows 1 ounce. And I said something to the lady. I'm like, could you go with I'm not trying to be that guy, but that pour was weak. She's like, oh, it's automatic. It's out of my control. And then she shows me the device. I'm like, that angered me, but I respected it, you know? And then I just had to order 2 in one sitting.
Is that bartender CYA? I guess it's just the way you keep an eye on your bartenders to make sure they're not hooking people up.
I guess, but,
check out this.
It was glaring.
Check out this DM I got from Rodri in London. He said, oh shit, London stand up, with a photo of it's hard to focus the thing, but he says, I'm a Seahawks fan and you're the only NFL pod I listen to. Keep up the good shit. Don't get complacent now. No, we have a lot to deliver to Tito, so.
Yeah.
Tito's handmade vodka, John, the original craft vodka in America, 6 times distilled in copper pots, not columns. It's more labor intensive, but Tito, the man, knows it makes it better. And he's a double gold winner, so he knows good when he's got good. Nice Tito shirt. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly. Send us pictures.
Show me your Tito's.
That's not allowed. HR said no.
No shirts.
Oh, no shirts. Okay.
Yeah, no shirts.
It's not supposed to be a double entendre. It's just send us pictures of you hanging out, drinking Tito's. Maybe you're making the infusion, the transfusion. You know, one thing, take a mason jar, put a bunch of watermelon in it, fill it with vodka, let that bad boy sit for a couple of days, and have that thing ready by the time football kicks off on Sundays.
Did you guys ever have ice luges at Fresno State? That was a big thing at Cal Poly, ice luge. So you basically just get a brick of ice. And, I mean, if you're really creative, you do a cool, like a mermaid sculpture out of it. But most people would just cut, basically, a direct line from the top, and you put it on this wood frame, and you aim it down, and you basically can just, I mean, back then we were not, Tito's probably was not around in, like, 05, 06. We were drinking.
I mean, it was, but I don't think we didn't. Yeah, you didn't.
It wasn't getting distributed out here, I don't think. And it was, I mean, we were drinking the worst vodka possible, and you'd pour it down there. But the ice luge, it would be so cold, it would be incredible.
That's incredible.
I can't even imagine how good Tito's would be in the ice luge.
Bring it back for the tailgate.
Yeah.
Podcast also brought to you by our friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code HAM and the number one. They will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. Right now.
MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1. You alerted me, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, about college football this weekend. Then I heard Bruce Feldman say he thought the number one guy on the hot seat heading in, maybe it wasn't Bruce Feldman, but it was definitely a college football guy, is Scott Frost. His job is in peril. It's a problem,
yeah.
Right? It has not gone well. I think new athletic
think
director.
On the inside, Trev Alberts, on the inside, someone's trying to take him out.
So, I mean, that game has some pretty big guy. It wasn't that long ago. It felt like a couple years ago, maybe it's a little more now, three or four. He was by far the number one coaching candidate in America, right? What he was doing at UCF. He kind of had this player version of like Chris Peterson, right? Non-Power 5, but they were kicking everyone's ass, and he was cool, and the program was sweet. And it's like, if you wanted to hire him, he was going to bring every single assistant coach with him. And now he's playing Brett Bielema, who clearly doesn't give a shit, who married a waitress once upon a time that he met in Vegas. Pretty sure they're still married. And like, I just can't lock up Scott Frost going to beat Brett Bielema. Like, say what you want about Brett Bielema. He's an easy guy to make fun of. Pretty decent coach, you know, historically. He's got a pretty good resume.
I mean, and he's had a lot of success in the Big Ten.
I actually think I heard someone say
SEC,
once, like,
no, but.
But he actually wasn't as bad in the SEC as people kind of thought. But it's, I mean, Arkansas is a hard place to win.
You get fired quick.
Yeah. But I kind of like Bielema. I know nothing about Illinois. But mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. Get your gamble on.
Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM. And the number one, the historic, John. Let's not forget about the historic 18-week football season is beginning. Over $500,000 in contest prizes live on site. Make it winning season. And I didn't realize the dollar-for-dollar matchup to 1,000 is actually the first time they've done that. So anyway, and plus we got, do you know when the super contest begins? That'll be a promotion for maybe next week or something. But
yeah, I would imagine it just starts Thursday night. You got to be in by the Thursday night game. Okay. Is that Bucks Cowboys? Is that the?
Yes.
It's definitely, I think it's Tampa and Dallas.
Right,
yeah.
It sounds right. So we talked.
I dare you to take Dallas.
Super contest Dallas. I'm just so nervous about being out after 1 week. I don't want to be out after 1 week in the super contest. No.
One thing I was reading, I could be wrong. It's not just one game. It's you pick five, and it's an accumulation of points over the season.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there's different super contests. I'm not exactly sure on the rules of this one.
Gotcha. All right. So we did a video. Wednesday it would have been. We did a video only because there was some Kyle Shanahan press conference, Jimmy Garoppolo press conference. Both Jimmy certainly made it seem like he knew he'd be the starting quarterback. But then what happened after that was they practiced. And a lot has been written and said about that practice since. Here's a couple things that were tweeted during that practice from our buddy Chris Biederman. Well, that was an interesting practice. Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance received roughly equal reps with the starters during a move the ball period. David Lombardi tweeted, hands down the most fascinating practice of the Shanahan era. Just as I've been talking about for a while, he mix and match Garoppolo and Lance with both the first and second team offenses. Shanahan even swapped QBs multiple times mid-drive based on distance, down, and defense. And there's been a lot of talk since that Wednesday practice that, yes, while it does all signs point to Jimmy Garoppolo starting, that this is going to be maybe a different – this is not going to be maybe Kyle just feels like giving Trey Lance the fourth series and that's what he gets – that he's going to allow the circumstance of the game to dictate almost like a pinch hitter that doesn't have to sit out after you remove them, Taysom Hill style, what situations to bring Trey Lance in. There used to be a phrase for this. It was called a two-quarterback system.
But wouldn't you say historically in the NFL, much more than college, I think the famous line was always, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Right.
Like, you know, it was viewed in college. It happened our entire life. It does feel like it's happened less and less the last decade. It's become college football has become more dependent on the quarterback. Obviously, it's just games have spread out and you throw it more.
Right.
Which I think when we were younger, running quarterbacks, it was all kind of, you could mix and match it pretty easily. It was a running back and defense centric sport. I do think this is fascinating because I do align with the thinking if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Mm-hmm. That's just true. And I would say the most recent example of something that worked because the team was really good, they didn't have two quarterbacks. They had Drew Brees, and the other guy just played a unique role, right? They gave it to him on, like, direct handoff sweeps. He was a role player. I never viewed Taysom Hill as, like,
a two quarterback system. Did you, like, when you watched the Saints play and even when they used him?
I did not, but how do you think Drew Brees, did Drew Brees feel like he was in a two quarterback system?
Well, yeah, he got yanked out of the game, I'm sure, when he did not want to, but he was never yanked out of the game more than a play or two, where it does feel this one's liable to go on for a little longer if Trey's cooking.
Yeah, but
Drew was never going to get benched for Taysom Hill.
And that's what makes that situation very different than this situation.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill was not drafted third overall. They didn't trade the farm to get Taysom Hill.
But this situation, has it really taken place over the last...
Was Taysom Hill even drafted?
I think he was an undrafted free agent. Okay. He got cut by the Packers. Because remember when he came out, you know, he's like 32 years old. Like he got into the NFL by the time he was like 27 because he was like a seventh year senior, went on a mission. Like
you're right. He just turned 31 3 days ago.
All time outlier story. Like he's been in the league 4 years. He's 31. You know, he's like a year younger than Russell Wilson. But this does feel to me a little collegiate. Remember when Tebow first got there? And I think it was Chris Leak, the quarterback at Florida. And they were just like using them both.
The jump pass, because, baby. Like, remember that thing?
Because Tebow was Urban's guy, but Leak was still good enough, yeah, and they could win. But it was like clearly where it's headed. That's kind of the thing here. It does not work in the NFL. It never has, at least in modern football. And I'm not saying I question it, but there is risk involved. I do think it's shown consistently you are better off just Teddy Bridgewater's your guy, Drew Lock, you're the backup. Hey, Jimmy, now I'm not saying you can't bring Trey Lance in on a goal line play, but that's not what this feels like at all.
Well, it feels like...
If we assume that Jimmy is going to be the starting quarterback, and as we've talked about, I kind of felt like Trey Lance was going to be the guy, but then I see Jimmy laughing. Like, I do think he feels confident that he's going to be the starting quarterback week one, so it's hard to kind of go back and forth on this.
I saw Matt Barrows said it or wrote it. I can't remember if this was on his podcast or if it's Barrows wrote a lot about it too, and he mentioned Taysom Hill. And he said logic says it'll start as a smattering of snaps and it could go up from there. You know, but again, what does that mean on 3rd and 14 Trey Lance comes into the game? Is that what that means? Like, part of my question is we've seen Trey Lance. We know what we think of his skill set. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo. We know what we think of his skill set. So what does this to me is the question. What does Kyle Shanahan view as the situations where Trey Lance helps him? And the situations where Jimmy Garoppolo is a better option. The goal line one's an easy one, right? Because the quarterback that can run and throw makes more sense on the goal line than the quarterback that can only throw.
I'm not trying to be negative on this one, but hearing you talk, I think you got to keep three quarterbacks. Because if both guys are playing, like, what if Trey's in there on a running play, gets hurt, and then a couple plays later, Jimmy gets sacked and, like, breaks his...
Good point.
I just think it's much... When you have two quarterbacks... One guy does not play until the other guy comes out. But when you're putting them both in harm's way on any given play, it does complicate the situation. Again, I understand what he's doing, and you hit on this last, I think, on Monday's pod, or I guess we recorded on Sunday. Like, this guy needs to play. Like, that's just the only way he's going to get better. He needs to play. And I think Kyle knows that and wants to play him, but also knows Jimmy's probably things that he does better right now, or at least feels more confident about. Or maybe it's just as simple as, like, I don't want to – we'll just ease into this thing. But it's just not the way it usually works.
Well, let me state the obvious then. This is not good for Jimmy Garoppolo's long-term tenure of the 49ers.
We knew that,
yes,
though,
that's what I said. That's why I'm stating the obvious in terms of 2022. But it's also just – I think there are times, right, when you look at it, it's not exactly the same as we've talked about as Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, but there was no open door for Mahomes by week one or week two or week three to take Alex's snaps. Part of that was dependent on Alex was playing really, really well.
They had their mind made up, right?
But like Alex Smith played really well. They won a lot of games. And then once that happens, there's no chance you're replacing the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
This doesn't even sound – I think we kind of thought about it like if Jimmy Garoppolo is the starter, then once the season starts, he can't lose – like he's – unless he gets hurt or plays poorly, Trey Lance isn't taking his job. But this is different than that. Like he can play well and lose the job if Trey Lance in his opportunities plays better than Jimmy does. So playing well doesn't – the whole, like, Jimmy could win him the Super Bowl, and then what do you do? Great problem to have. But if they win the Super Bowl this year, it's not going to be with Jimmy Garoppolo taking all of their snaps.
Yeah. I also think you could think best case scenario if I'm Kyle and I don't even want to deal with like worrying about the money guys, Parag and Jed, being like, you know, can we get Jimmy to take a pay cut and still be the starter? You know, anything where you go, hey, guys, I can make him look good and it'll be a dual thing. And he'll be a good teammate and everything. What if he has some value, even if we can get back a third-round pick next year, right? He's on the books next year for like $20 million. That team can cut him at any moment. They get him in the building. We maybe can get his value back up this season.
Yeah.
Like, because to me, best-case scenario, what if he's actually really good, but you're still playing both of them, you start winning a bunch of games, everyone likes him, he's a great teammate. You know how teams get desperate, like, what if you get a second-round pick, you know? Because, again, there are positives that, one, he plays the most important position. Two, you just never know how the – let's just say this is an awful year for quarterbacks coming out of the draft. It's hard to maintain the pace we've been on, yeah. Right? We've had multiple years with five quarterbacks. That, even in a quarterback-centric league, you are very determined. Like, you know, Spencer Rattler might have been texting with a guy at Oklahoma who wants some Tito's bottles sent to the facility. Like, you know, he does weigh 200 pounds. And he's like, he's a good player, but he's still really young. The Howell guy in North Carolina, he's small. Slovis, a couple years ago, was like a borderline walk-on type guy, right?
Yeah.
I guess, he was like, what was his other offer? Like Colorado State? So you just, it doesn't feel as powerful as this crop, and that indirectly impacts, right, the quarterback market. Which has had the wide receiver market's been impacted by all the wide it does the draft impacts Jimmy. So you just never know. You know, I would say it's not likely, but I do think if you're Kyle, you can just talk your money guys into that scenario. Like, hey, I can get his fucking value back.
Yeah, but again, it's harder to get it. Maybe Kyle thinks it's easier to get the value
back. I'm
just
saying it's worth the risk. I'm just saying you push that to just shut them up because no one wants a backup, even a part-time quarterback making $25 million. It's bad business.
Clorox is picking up some of that bill, though, John.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a really thin needle that Kyle Shanahan's trying to thread here. You made me think of just listening to you describe trying to get both quarterbacks only in the situations in which they're set up to succeed, right? Like you get Jimmy looking better because you're only putting him in the situations that are most optimal, if I can go analytic, for him to succeed. You ever been in a traffic jam? We all have. And there's two ways you can handle a traffic jam. You just stay in your lane and trust that, you know, no one's really going anywhere. The fastest way for me to get somewhere is just to stay in this one spot. And eventually that lane moves a lot, but this lane moves a lot. But in the end, it'll balance. And the other way to do it is to dart all over the place and see if in the end you can finish ahead of where you would have been when you're constantly changing lanes in stop and go traffic. And a two quarterback system is you're darting all over the place and you're trying to hit every move exactly right. And it might work. But in the end, what inevitably happens in traffic is you look up and the car you were behind is 13 car lengths up on the other side and you jump back and when you're doing it this way, you have to always hit it right. The more decisions you make, the more decisions you're making, the more mistakes you can make also.
Or a Kawasaki's flying down the middle, right? And you turn, they have the right, you clip him, he dies, Gavin or maybe Larry Elder throws you in prison because they get the right away and all of a sudden you're screwed.
My favorite move,
AKA you go four games.
Is when I see them coming up in the side mirror, is I give them as much room as possible. All I want is that little like, oh yeah, this guy gets motorcyclists. And he gives you the peace sign as he goes by. I appreciate you looking out for me. I just want that. You know, I can't be cool enough on the motorcycle, but maybe a cool guy on a motorcycle will acknowledge.
You know when I was in Arizona over the summer, they are not legal to do that. You can't go to the middle, but you also don't have to wear helmets.
Yeah, that's usually, I know Hawaii, it's usually one or the other. It's split lanes, wear helmets. You can't split lanes, but you don't have to wear a helmet. Hawaii is like everyone's in flip-flops, no helmets. I'm just like this.
Yeah, I'm not over the top, just in general in life, super safety guy. That, to me, seems pretty fucking nuts, not to wear a helmet on a motorcycle. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and the split lane thing is pretty crazy also, I think. But it's like, if you can't split lanes, what's the point of a motorcycle? If I can't maneuver ahead of the rest of you, right?
Well, gas mileage, right? I mean, it's just...
I'm just saying, like, I'm parking. Small enough to... It's be like Darren Sproles and just not being allowed to run through smaller holes. It's like, what's the point?
True, but I've always felt with the motorcycle guy, like, do I need to be caring about you as I'm driving, as you're splitting lanes and I'm worried about cutting over?
Yeah, like, I wish there was a way to do it without motorcycles being so loud, if I could sound like an old man.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not a big motorcycle guy. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's the noise pollution is what bothers me. But I also feel cool when I move over and just, you know, let them live and let live. That's kind of the idea. Let them do their thing, and I'll just hang over here. I made the decision to drive a car, and so now I'm stuck.
So you are the overwhelming majority. They're the overwhelming minority, right?
Well, yeah.
I would say the car and the motorcycle is
But you say the same thing about pedestrians sometimes, right? Like, why are you trying to cross this road? This road's for cars.
Yeah, but I get, crossing the street to me is a little different than motorcycles.
Well, I got problems with pedestrians too, John. The whole, like, it's just, I'm just going to walk and I never have to stop at a four-way stop. No, screw you, man. Like, what? Why do you have more of a right? I get right of way based on safety, but you don't have the right to get anywhere any quicker just because you're walking and I'm in this car. Like, you stop. I've been at the stoplight. You just wait. Another thing that makes me feel, like, better than others, if I just stop and the car, like, three other people walk and I wait and the guy in the car, like, waves at you, like, I appreciate that. I appreciate you following the unwritten rules of society.
You've been living in the city for a while, though.
That one pisses me off.
I think in the suburbs, it's a little more normal.
People just wait.
You just let them go. Yeah, but wait.
No, pedestrians in the city, they just fucking just walk and walk and walk and walk.
The suburbs, not as much hustle and bustle. People just, you know, I'm going to pick up a salad. They're going to the park with the dog. You know, just everyone's just a little slower.
What is Shanahan? So Jimmy Garoppolo starts. I think one thing, John, he's going through all these scenarios and these practices trying to figure out exactly how to do it. In part, as he has said, part of it is about getting the players to feel a little comfortable with it, because Garoppolo said this is weird, right? I'm sure for Trey Lance it's weird. The guys they're playing with, it's got to be a little bit weird.
It is. It's weird. I mean, it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's honestly the coolest part about the Detroit Lions game is watching how this unfolds, because he's not going to do it in a preseason game. The ebb and flow of it.
I think he's going to do it a little bit against the Raiders. I thought. No?
We'll see. I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked if he runs Trey Lance, which he hasn't, and do a true, like, on third down, he's going to bring in Trey Lance. Why would you do that at this point? No.
For the players? Just because I think part of it's, like, the game clock. Like, if you come running in, like, what's the play clock at? Do you know the down and distance? Do you know what the situation is?
Don't get me wrong. I'm cool with him doing it.
I think Barrows wrote that he might, or maybe the Lombardi, somebody wrote that he might do some of that against the Raiders. But you're right. I mean, he said he was going to play Garoppolo after he played Lance, and he didn't. So
yeah, and he said, you know, our offense is going to look the exact same, and we went to practices, and they run plays for Trey that have not looked the same at all. Because we went to three straight practices, and they kept doing the same shit. Not trying to give away state secrets here, even though it's been reported, obviously, running plays, RPO-type stuff. He's done very normal Jimmy Garoppolo plays in my eyes for Trey Lance, right?
Yeah.
Like a normal pocket quarterback.
Yeah. Which, if you can't do that, then this whole thing, it doesn't work.
Yeah. But eventually, and this is the overarching topic to me with any quarterback, and this is why everyone's kind of blowing Mac Jones right now, that is how you sustain playing football, throwing the ball. I mean, it's the number one. Lamar Jackson has had one of the most incredible starts to a career, non-like Patrick Mahomes we've ever seen, right? Just his stats, how many games they've won, winning divisions. Like, it's been fucking awesome. And he gets nitpicked a lot, right? Well, can he throw well enough? And that's going to be the number one question the next. Because if there were not questions about him, for example, throwing the ball, wouldn't his contract already be done? Like, what? Now, granted, he's negotiating it.
Also, at the end, they might just win so many games that the Ravens don't have a choice, right? There still might be questions when it comes time to give him a contract. And if they go 13-4, like, what are they going to do?
Doesn't it feel like they're kind of there right now? If you're Lamar, you're like, well, just give me Josh Allen's contract.
Right.
I've done more than him.
But, you know, it's not just about how you sustain.
If you were him, how would you accept any less? You just go check the two resumes.
Yeah, I mean, depends. What happens this year? Does Josh Allen have a great year again? He doesn't have his – but if Lamar Jackson keeps playing the way he's playing, then you don't. He's had more great years. But it's not just about sustaining over 10 years, Trey Lance learning how to play quarterback that way. The Taysom Hill thing, the, like, mix Trey Lance in, it's kind of dependent on him being able to also do the things that Jimmy Garoppolo does, right? Like, you say, oh, it's a changeup. But if I throw only changeups, then you know what's coming and you can hit my changeup. Now, one changeup is different than Trey Lance. You can have multiple running plays, right? But Trey Lance, at the end of the day, like Taysom Hill, the whole thing with Breeze, like, part of it is occasionally Taysom has to throw the ball for there to be a threat of it. And I don't even like that comp so much. I like the comp from Garoppolo's standpoint of being replaced at times and having to keep your rhythm. I don't love the comp for Taysom and Trey Lance because I think, I mean, if Trey Lance is Taysom Hill, this is a historic failure.
Yeah, I mean, Haber Middlecoff might go out of business, let alone Kyle get fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
It'd be a disaster.
And I don't think he is. I don't... Yeah.
Like Jameis Winston would not saying Taysom Hill out immediately. No, I know. Yeah. Again, Taysom Hill is an all-time just outlier player. You know, he's just a unique... To me, they're all in on Trey Lance because they were all in on Trey Lance when they drafted him, what they moved for him. Taysom Hill, to me, is your classic. Like, the coach really likes him. But not they didn't give up anything for him, right? They just found him as a gem once upon a time. And they did give him, I think, like... I think he makes like $10 million now.
Well, remember they gave him like 40, allegedly? Yeah, remember that whole thing?
He does not make, you know, 1.7 anymore. He makes some decent cash. And I think Jameis makes like 3 or 4. So it's... But coaches, that's the balance to me of the money matters in football. It's a huge conversation, how you build your team, who gets to play typically. It's a hard balance to kind of walk. You kind of... There's an emotional part to it, and then there's an unemotional part to it that Belichick's walked better than any coach ever, right? Like we always talk about, like, fucking Belichick. Sonny Michel, he drafted him 3 years ago in the first round. The guy helped. Sonny Michel had 2 big games in the playoffs, the Rams game, and I think the Chiefs, like, he was good. And then he kind of got phased out. Again, first-round pick over Nick Chubb, and boom, he's just gone. Like, he's just unemotional with it all. Now, he has a lot more equity to make moves like that. Like, the Niners... They get crushed, and all teams do, right? When you make a move, like, damn, you just draft that guy in the second round. We were like, Pettis, that was a disaster, or Solomon Thomas, or the Raiders, Lynn Bowden, or Cleveland Farrell. Like, no one can just pivot faster than the hoodie, but he has 6 fucking rings.
Right.
And I think he'd tell you 8.
Yeah. It leads us to Steve Young, who...
He's got a couple of rings.
Steve Young, big winner. Really, you and I both read his book during the pandemic. It's not a new book, so available to everybody. And what he said on Friday, right? It was last Friday on NFL Live. He said he'd start Trey Lance right now.
It was whatever their show is going into Monday Night Football that hour before, like him and Schefter and Susie.
Yeah, and Booger.
It was their pregame show. Yeah,
but that was last Friday, right?
Yeah, it was before the Cardinals Chiefs game.
So Steve Young says he'd start Trey Lance right now. And he said it really emphatically. And one of the things he said was the Niners couldn't have said it any more loudly that they would rather have Trey Lance than Jimmy Garoppolo. He added that, and this is where I would disagree with Steve a little bit, that, you know, it's a problem for them and it's complicated. It gets harder for them because Garoppolo has the locker room if he also plays well. And he's not wrong about that. Especially if Kyle wants to work Trey in. But it doesn't sound like Jimmy's going to get much opportunity to just play 100% of the snaps. So he's going to just have to live with Trey Lance getting worked in. But again, Steve Young's take is go with Trey Lance. Because you've already told us what you think about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not long for your organization. So you might as well start the clock now.
I think the most fascinating thing about you read, I listened to Steve's situation in the late 80s was how Bill had promised him to be the starting quarterback. How Joe Montana, who had been a Super Bowl champion and an absolute legend by the time Steve got there, they were kind of siphoning out, and then he actually never got to play, right, for a long period of time. There was like a 3-year span where, in his mind, he was getting screwed. And Joe would get hurt, he'd get to play a little bit, Joe would come back, and it was the locker room dynamics were unique.
Yeah.
I would say this situation doesn't parallel that one at all. And listen, I do think Steve just speaks from an area of an experience, and because we all naturally do. But like, there is no Joe Montana level saving Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo could be the MVP of the league. To me, they would, let's just say, best case scenario, he won the MVP of the National Football League. They would trade him this offseason for, like, obviously, right?
Unless they think they might have been wrong about Trey Lance. That's where you wouldn't do it.
I think he would get dealt. Yeah, unless something happened with Trey. But, like, even if he just played a little bit and they were just bullish, like, this is roll.
Yeah, if you're bullish, it's just, to me, I'm just saying, that's if you went, oh, my God, like, we fucked up with Trey Lance is not the guy. Like, Josh Rosen style, the Cardinals.
Yeah, if Jimmy had won the MVP, like, what's he getting, a 1 and a 2 for him in the open market?
But you just got to be sure you're the guy you're replacing with can play. That's all. Doesn't have to be the MVP right away, but that, anyway.
Yeah, so I think Jimmy is just... He's a dead man walking. We just don't know if that's going to be like he just gets thrown to the bench by week 2 or week 5, week 8, or the end of the season, right? Because we know Trey's playing. I guess as of today, August 26th, we kind of assume, again, Jimmy's probably going to be the starter, but is Jimmy starting and getting 30 plays and Trey gets 15, right? Is it like a split? Is it like they're each around 20? I don't know.
Right.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
To me, anything's possible. And that, to me, has dramatically even changed since Steve talked last. Like, this situation is, in the Joe and Steve thing, to me, the major difference of Joe and Steve, if that happened today, Steve was one of the fastest players in the league at the time, right? In, like, 89, 86. They would have played, but, like, Steve would have had sweet running plays put in. It was just dramatically different times. Like, it would be crazy to even think like that. And he was Joe Montana. But, like, Steve Young would have played a lot more, even if Joe was healthy and playing, today.
Yeah, I think Steve would have ended up on another team, too. I mean, the Niners were his second team. But,
yeah.
Crazy thing is
Steve... The Niners kind of bought low.
But Steve was a highly drafted player, and then the Bucs decided to do they went and got Vinny Testaverde, and Steve had a pretty shitty experience leading up to San Francisco with Tampa, and they had tried to trade him. To remember the St. Louis Cardinals.
Wasn't great. Remember in Tampa. But their team sucked.
Team was bad. They were going to trade him to the St. Louis Cardinals. And he was like, the Cardinals at the time were as bad as the Bucs organizationally. He's like, no, I'm not showing up. So Eddie D paid a little money because the story from Steve's book was the Bucs owner was happy to take cash. And Eddie D paid to get Steve. And then Steve's around for, like 4.5 years, basically. 5 years. And it was... Partly your point is right, right? Like we've talked about the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo has equity with the organization in a way that Andy Dalton doesn't have equity, but it pales in comparison to the amount of equity that, you know, Joe Montana had with the 49ers.
For example, I'm just looking at the trade. The Bucs got a second, a fourth, and $1 million.
And $1 million was a significant part of that trade.
And one thing I think Steve Young said is $1 million made the deal happen.
Yeah.
So he still had, I mean, even back, that's pretty good value for a guy who's really struggling, right? Like, Steve still had value around the league. Like, he might have gone for a first-round pick even back then. I bet teams were thinking about it, which Jimmy clearly is not on that level.
Right.
Which, to me, throws off the entire, like, and it turns out it's aged well. Joe Montana's, I think, at this point in time, widely viewed as the second best quarterback of all time, and Steve's like a borderline top 10 guy of all time.
But it does make you
one of the true great players.
Steve probably wonders, I'm one of the all time greats. I'm a Hall of Famer, and I didn't start playing.
Yeah.
Till I was Taysom Hill's age, basically. It really is a testament to how good he was when he got a shot.
Times were a lot different back then, don't you think? Like, there's just no chance on quarterbacks he lasts the Niners for 4 years. And part of the story was he almost signed with the Raiders. But my ultimate point is, like, Trey Lance ain't waiting. There is no waiting. He's literally playing right away, and he will eventually be the starter, if not immediately to start the season, by October, or definitely by this season playing a lot, by next year, to me, he's a lock. I see zero scenario, which includes Jimmy Garoppolo winning the MVP, which to me would be one of the most shocking sports things in the history of our lifetime, right? If Jimmy Garoppolo were the MVP after they drafted, like, I see no scenario in which Trey Lance isn't, like, the full-time, they build the franchise around him, like, by this offseason.
Yeah, right? You're saying if he wins the MVP, they still trade him?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I get where Steve's coming from, because he just said these coaches could say things and then things change. I just see no scenario, and when even Jimmy's best case scenario, which I think we all agree is
that's not the best case scenario. If he wins the MVP, then he doesn't even look like the guy we've been watching. So if that happens, like if he wins the MVP, I bring him back. Trey can wait another year. He's just the MVP if that's who he is, but that's not who he's been. Yeah. So that's not even a real scenario. But I think even if you took out the experience that Steve Young had in his career. There's logic here, right? The most basic logic is you already told us what you think about this guy. And I think the Niners' response would be, yeah, we did tell you what we think. When we traded up to three, we did that not for who Trey Lance is on August 26th, 2021. We traded up to three for who we think Trey Lance will become, right? The Bills did not draft Josh Allen for who he was coming out of Wyoming. They drafted him for the guy that could become the guy that he was in 2020. And yeah. So both of those things can be true. You can announce to the world that Trey Lance is our guy, and that tells us everything we need to know about what you think about him and what you think about where Jimmy Garoppolo is going. And you can also try, I'm not sure, like we'll watch it play out this year. If, you know, I have a hard time, I don't know what your prediction would be. I have a hard time seeing a 2QB system last 18 weeks. Like at some point, I think Trey Lance takes that job. But it'll be fascinating to see how you arrive there.
There would be some, like, how does the two quarterback system work? Let's say you're able to start 2-0, which they're going to be, I haven't even looked at the line for the Lions. It's probably like 10. They'll be favored in the Eagles game. It'll be fascinating to watch it against the Packers in Seattle. Like, it's one thing to beat the Eagles, right? It's another thing, like, the shit's going to work against the Packers? Like,
It might.
This gonna?
It might. It depends. Like, it's dependent on how good Jimmy.
I don't do two quarterback things. Like that's I'm just out.
Well, nobody
of
does, right? The league doesn't do it, and that's not what Kyle wants to do. But it's just he has a guy who he doesn't think is 100% ready to be the starter in Trey Lance. So he's got Jimmy Garoppolo does some things better than him, but he does have Trey Lance who does some things really well that he thinks can help him right now. And this sport,
I also think he'd scrap it if it doesn't work.
Yeah, it could be that 4 weeks in, Jimmy Garoppolo's just the starting quarterback. But again, I don't think Kyle thinks, wait, there's some stuff that Trey Lance does well. So I'm going to have him do those things really well, at minimum.
Well, like, let's say Jameis
ends
up winning
the
job.
Kyle's whole thing is like just finding a thing you do well and just riding that.
Well, Jameis is going to win the job, let's assume,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Taysom Hill's still going to play some quarterback for them every game.
Right.
If he did it with fucking Drew Brees, why wouldn't he do it with Jameis Winston?
He's paying him $12 million.
You could argue he might end up playing more. So, yeah, I mean, would you be shocked if they hadn't studied the Saints over the last 3 or 4 months, just how they did it? You know, just see it. Like, what could we do, even if the plays are completely different, but just what was the rotation like? I would have ran a study what, like, the last 2 years with Drew and Taysom, when Drew was healthy, how did they, you know, use him? At what points in the game? At what down and distances? What type plays? I'd want a breakdown.
Yeah. And they would have had that breakdown.
Have an idea.
To me, they would have had that breakdown before the draft, right? In hindsight, this might have been part of the plan. Otherwise, maybe if you have no intention to do this, what you're willing to take for Jimmy Garoppolo in a trade is less.
Yes.
So it makes the whole thing. It sounds really cliche. Everything is always, I'm fascinated to see, but it is really interesting. Now, you know who else could do this? If Mac Jones is the starter, the Patriots could do some of this with Cam.
They could. I think they will.
Like, it doesn't.
If Cam makes a team.
It doesn't make sense for. Could the Bears do this? Or is Fields more off script related? Is that one different? Why is that one different? Other than it's just weird to do this.
It feels like.
7.5.
What's his name? Andy Dalton has like a naked picture of Nagy or something, because I would fucking just.
Well, he has a promise, Andy. John. He has a promise. To be the starting quarterback. And my word is my bond.
Bye bye, Andy.
That one's coming too.
You know, if you're Andy, you should feel very, very honored and obligated to do nice things for this guy the rest of your life, because I don't think anyone else would treat you like this, beside your family.
Yeah.
But in the NFL at this point in time in your career.
Yeah.
I think most people, even with Andy Dalton, the promise, you would have had an open competition at quarterback once you landed field. We've seen it all happen all the time. Right? I mean, Flacco got benched for Lamar, but like Flacco had done so much for Harbaugh and won them a Super Bowl. They couldn't just name Lamar the starter. But this situation, when you have when you just have an unrestricted free agent showing up for the first time, to me, is pretty crazy. Now, maybe you're just around Andy, you're like, this guy's a high-level guy. It's just, I think people like him, clearly. I mean, he's a likable guy. He's actually too likable. I think that skews people. It's like, God, he's just such a high character guy. And we get it. Can he fucking throw the out route?
So in his, I mean, last year's probably not a good example of Taysom Hill usage. Let's go 2019. 27 rush plays and how many pass attempts? I mean, not many, right? He had 6.
Yeah.
Because that was part of the deal. He only had 13 pass attempts before last year when he was a 73% passer. Kyle Shanahan probably kind of thinks, like, I know Taysom's not intended to be the starting quarterback at any point in time, but that's just what happened last year. But if Taysom Hill can be a 73% passer in spot duty, like, what does he think Trey Lance, he can make Trey Lance a 70% passer in, you know, situational opportunities? I don't know. I tend to think, how do you think this looks early? I think it looks less Trey initially than maybe we think, although I'm not exactly sure how many snaps that means, like 10 to 12.
I would say 10. I'd say 10 minimum. That's a lot of snaps, guy.
Yeah. But what do those snaps look like is part of the question. Is it I'm going to play him on third down, but then we're ahead of the chain so much that, you know, the circumstance doesn't allow, or I'm just going to plug him in to run some plays. I'm going to force it in there. Because if it's situational, then, you know, it could be that the Niners are pounding the Lions and there's not a lot of third and ones and Trey Lance doesn't play
a lot. You just gave Taysom Hill stats and it felt like everyone was hyping up like he actually didn't play that much. 10 would be a lot. Because you'd be on pace
it would be.
You know, 170 snaps, which actually would probably be higher if he starts week one at 10. Like, that'd be a shitload.
Yeah.
You know, how many offensive snaps you get? You might only get 40. So he's going to get 10 of the 40? That's, you know,
I don't, yeah,
25%.
I don't know. That's my question. Is I think we hear this and we go immediately to, man, this is going
to
be.
Because to me, if he gets 3, that's nothing. If it's 3, I would say anything over like 8, 9, 10 is a lot. 3 plays, like, whatever. He didn't even.
Yeah, but again, it's situational. So 3 plays could be the result of thinking going into the game, I'm going to get him 12, and the game doesn't. Like, 3 to me is just if he plays.
If they come out of week one and he's got 3, to me, then nothing happened. Like, with him, like, you don't really have a take besides he didn't really play, right?
Yeah, I don't have a take on what happened, but it is just to me, it's different than what most people do. So that's where it's trend. Like, it's just an indication of what we think the trend is going to be, which is this guy plays. So the question then becomes, what 3 snaps did he take?
Yeah, 3 to me would be very underwhelming.
Like, if he took 3 snaps and all. Well, it would be. But again, it does tell us something. If he took 3 snaps and it was all 3 third and one situations, then I'm like, okay, that's something. But I want to see, is he third and fourth? If he takes 3 snaps and they're all first and first downs after they've crossed midfield, like, where is he playing? Is there any pattern to what he gets? Like, that's going to be the interesting part, as much as the volume is going to be fun. But, like, where does he get snaps if the game is, you know, kind of in a close situation? What is it? If it's only goal line, that's not as cool.
Yeah, well, right? To me, he's coming in on first down, my guess would be, or short yardage stuff. Like, you wouldn't pull him in on third and 10.
Well, right? You might if you think you got to pull. Like, I've game planned third and long. The Lions are susceptible to a freaking, I don't know, a 30-yard touchdown, and I need Trey Lance to. Or if you've got a crazy run play that you want on third and long as a curveball, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle is a creative guy. I think you almost have to think, like, where are the obvious spots for him? And then go, okay, where are not the obvious spots for him? And will he be in some of those situations?
If it was 3, I'd be disappointed. Like, I'm
not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying, yeah. I don't think if he gets any snaps, when the game is close, there will be something in that. And I do think there's something to, at the end of the day, Steve Young's take and your point, which is the quarterback is so different than any other position in sports. Like, you are the number one leader of the team. That is your number one job. I guess maybe it's not your number one job, but it's 1A with all the other stuff you do. You got to be good enough to be. And if you are not the only quarterback that is the quarterback, because again, this is not Taysom Hill's situation. I think every guy in that locker room Drew Brees, this is not Jimmy Garoppolo, is not Drew Brees, right? Taysom Hill gets 120 snaps even. There's no question about who the quarterback of the team is. This is, what are we heading towards? He gets 5 snaps week one. Well, you're his teammate. You look around. Is it going to be 10 week two? Is it going to be 15? You start thinking, when does Trey Lance take this job? And that, I think, is
hopefully
the heart of what Steve is saying. Is like, even if you think one guy's a little better, you're doing your team a disservice if you don't pick one of these guys. We'll see.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that.
I do, too, because you rarely see it work. But Kyle thinks he can.
Yeah,
he can make it work.
I think it would be a bigger, it'd be more under the microscope if you weren't playing the Lions week one. If you were playing the fucking Rams week one, it'd be a much bigger story.
Yeah. Well, you know, Oregon plays Ohio State week two. Oregon's got a grad transfer quarterback from Boston College who does not have great production in his career. And they have a really highly rated true freshman quarterback that's in.
And true freshman?
Yeah, his name is Ty Thompson. Yeah. And somebody brought up, it's been suggested, like, well, I hadn't thought about this until our buddy Mike Yam said to me, he's like, do you think they'd be going with the veteran if they weren't playing Ohio State week two? Like, that's a good question, right? You go true freshman week one, week two against Ohio State versus, you know, if you have a softer schedule. And maybe it is. Yeah, maybe he wouldn't be doing this week one if they were opening Thursday night football on the road against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like he still would. They drafted this guy third. He wants him on the field. He wants Trey Lance on the field. That's what he wants.
I haven't been at Oregon's practice. I think it's a grad transfer from an average.
Well, I mean, he grad transferred. He was on the team last year, too.
Oh, so he knows their shit.
Yeah.
Coaches get, and they get enamored with that at quarterback. Knowledge.
Yeah, and, you know, the team is supposed to be good. It's, you don't, this isn't, you don't know what you need. I mean, it depended on the team, too. Like, what did you need out of the, what is it that you need out of the guy?
But I would say, like, in how much better off are you if this guy, now, you could, Tua didn't get to start right away, but I would play him as much as humanly possible because you're really, he doesn't have the equity that Mario doesn't, but like, think how much better he'll be off in 2022. Your team's young, like, then he, you know, you can't.
Yeah, but you're trying to go to a college football playoff this year and win a championship.
Well,
it's different in college.
Fucking Boston College.
It's different. Right? Well, but it's just different in college. Like, by the time you get to the NFL, these are guys that have played 3 years of college football. High school football quarterbacks coming in as freshmen, the range of what you're getting is so wide.
Yeah. You have
no even clue. If it's a 5-star guy. So it's hard to, I think, make a blanket statement like that. But I don't know.
Well, it is still even like the draft. You never know. I was listening to Feldman talk about some different college quarterbacks with Russillo, and it's like most of the guys at the big programs are 5-stars, like Ohio State, and everyone thinks he's going to be good.
Yeah,
but you never
that's
know.
A freshman.
Like, not every guy is just going to be good. Right?
Redshirt freshman, I think. But no, you're right.
Yeah. This guy at Oregon, whoever. Like Bryce Love at Alabama. Some guys, JT Daniels, when he first got to USC, was like, oh, this guy's going to revolutionize. You're like, I watched him as a freshman. You know, I didn't quite see it.
Now he's at Georgia.
Maybe he's better now. Now he's at Georgia. We'll see.
John, let's tell the people about our friends at DraftKings. As we record this on Thursday, we are underway for round two of the FedEx Cup. John finished fourth and in the money in round one of the FedEx Cup. And I think next week, the game will be bigger for next week. We got to remember to make the game bigger next week for the FedEx Cup Championship. And plus, I mean, football's about to be here. DraftKings promo code HAM. Don't let me bury the lead.
Yep, it's simple. You just pick your lineup, get in daily fantasy. We've been diehard daily fantasy guys. You are listening or watching two guys that never played fantasy. You couldn't have paid me to play fantasy. I thought it was stupid. And you know what? Regular fantasy is kind of dumb. I don't want to be stuck with a fucking player. Well, I never am with daily fantasy. So if I take a guy 1 week, Saquon Barkley, he's not on my team forever. Next week, completely different team. I want to get CeeDee Lamb instead of Amari Cooper. I can mix and match. I'm telling you, I can't recommend daily fantasy enough. I get the juice that everyone else gets, but I'm never stuck to a player. If he tears his ACL in the middle of the game, it's like, well, I'm not picking him next week, right? No waiver wires, none of that. You just pick your lineup based on who you know is going to play that week.
It's fantastic.
Get in our league.
We're converts. Plus, DraftKings has the new Instant Win Challenge, Wild Cards. Download the DraftKings app now. Claim your first wild card for free. Use the code HAM. There's up to $50 million worth of prizes up for grabs with 1 in 4 winning instantly. You just download the app, claim your wild card. It reveals either a weekly player challenge or an instant win prize like tickets to the Super Bowl. Download the app, promo code HAM. That's promo code HAM only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Yep.
Podcast also brought to you by Manscaped. Promo code HAM. Right now, you get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HAM.
This is your pubic service announcement. No big deal. Manscaped.com. We don't want you to have hairy balls. And that's where the Lawnmower 4.0 comes in. I have the 2.0, the 3.0. They just sent me the 4.0, and they gave me the nose trimmer. I need to open the box. I haven't done
nose
it
trimmer.
Yet because I've been plucking my nose hairs for a
Dangerous.
Couple years now.
You're going to end up in the hospital.
It's painful, but it's needed because you don't want your nose hair hanging down to your lip. You're like, that's a bad look.
Hey, man.
So you yank it, then
What's
you start
up,
crying.
Man?
Yeah, so that's where the nose hair trimmer comes in, and you just attack it. Lawnmower 4.0, 4,000K LED spotlight. No big deal. The new trimmer allows you to customize your trim. Four different sizes, 1 to 4. You probably go like 2 or 3 on the side, you know, when you go really tight and you go to the top.
You're tight. Let me get a tight fade, man. Hey, could you put my maybe a couple notches?
What's the closest you've ever gotten on the side?
2.
Two. That's a bold move.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HIM. I actually found an old photo today of a haircut I got many years ago. I was going through my phone. Back one time I had the, you know, like a good week and a half scruff going, and I got a haircut, and the guy gave me the line on the sideburn and then just like went down an inch, and I just left with like a gap like that of clean shave and then do a beard. Remember Shaquille O'Neal kind of had that look one time when he went bald?
You do that on purpose?
No! And I remember that haircut specifically because the guy talked a ton. I was wearing glasses that day. I had my glasses off. And I just remember feeling like, oh, it feels like he's going low, but I couldn't see the mirror. And I put him on. I'm like, what did you do? And that was
what did he say?
I didn't say, what did you do? I was like, all right, thanks, man. I'm never coming back here again. Promo code HAM at manscaped.com. 20% off free shipping. Code HAM, manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Manscaped.
This story did not fly under the radar, but we have not talked about this. Vic Tafer of The Athletic reported the other day that the Raiders reached out to the Bears, John, in March, just before free agency, to see if they were interested in trading Khalil Mack back to the Raiders. He wrote, the Bears had significant salary cap issues, which forced them to release Kyle Fuller and restructure several contracts. The Raiders thought it was worth a shot. However, Chicago was not interested in the trade, sources said. That's a bizarre one.
Yeah, I mean, let's face
it. Do-over? No tradebacks? Remember that when you would trade cards with somebody? Like, no tradebacks. Did they say no tradebacks when they did the Khalil Mack deal? They must have.
I think their issue is it's been a disaster since they made the trade because it was a double whammy. They traded him. You can argue whether they had the cash on hand or not. Khalil knew his holdout turned out to be justified because he got $90 million. That was the going rate, right, once Aaron Donald signed. But then they used those picks. They sucked that year, right? They ended up trading Amari Cooper in the middle of the season. They ended up getting the 4th overall pick. They whiffed on that thing. And then they got 2 other draft picks. One, they got a good running back, one of the best players on their team, and, you know, one of the better players in the league. I think his question mark with Jacobs, right, is just, can he just play every week? He just gets banged up. But he's a really good player. And I think Damon Arnett was the other guy who's not a starter anymore. So it just, it led to Cleveland Farrell because they got really, really shitty, right? Once they make the trade, they were really bad that year. And Cleveland's, I think, one of the best players in the league easily at that time. And it just hasn't worked out. They've had no pass rush. Their defense got worse and worse. When they had Khalil Mack the year they made the playoffs, he was the defensive player of the year and an all-pro at like multiple positions. Their defense wasn't that great, but he was so remarkable that he could make up for it. So their line of thinking, if you assume they have the money, which I think is very up for debate, that was like, we can do way more with, you know, with the picks and with the cap space. Well, they missed on all their free agents. LaMarcus Joyner was terrible. He leaves. He's like, that place was a disaster. And then the players that led them to get defensively have not worked at all. Like Jonathan Abram.
Drop some LBs.
Yeah, I mean, but he's been kind of a positionless, overrated player, right? He's been a lot of hype, you know, a first-round pick, but it's, he gives up way more plays than he makes. The first year, remember, he missed the entire season after he did what he hangs his hat on, which is destroying people, but he also destroyed his labrum, right, that play. Week 1, that was the opening week. Was that the Rams, Monday Night Football? Maybe it was the next week. I can't even remember. Maybe it was the Broncos. But it's been a disaster. And like you said, like no trade backs, like that's what you want to back? I mean, what are we doing?
I mean, do you think it's been a successful trade for the Bears?
Well, he's been one of their better players,
right.
Their best player, really, the first 2 years. That first year they got there, Fangio was there. They had one of the best defense. They made the playoffs, and they hosted a playoff game. That was the doink. What would the Raiders do to make the playoffs under Gruden? Anything. Would they do the equivalent of a trade to get a player and give up picks to ensure that they host a playoff game without question?
Yes.
The Bears did that.
They did that. But I think it's been successful for them, but I also think it's they have not fully... It's they're kind of wasting it now, right? It worked, but it's not for lack of his ability, but they're at risk of wasting it as well. So it was a win for them. The value said it was a win for the Raiders. I would argue neither one of them has actually, I'm not going to say it's a lose-lose because it hasn't been, because they got Khalil Mack.
And the Bears got lucky, but last year they got lucky. They have made the playoffs 2 or 3 years. Right,
there's no question.
Raiders have made it once in 20 years and 0 times under Gruden. Even
he's
close.
Khalil Mack is a preeminent pass rusher who's 30 years old. So I'm just saying they're at risk of not.
He wasn't that good last year. So I mean,
they're at risk of having wasted it a little bit or a lot bit.
Yeah,
he wasn't that good. Had 9 sacks.
But it just I felt like
he didn't quite
look like he'd looked the good. Yeah,
I know.
That just shows you he's an elite player. What would the Raiders have done for that version of Khalil Mack last year? Right.
Jacob on YouTube says, not the Bears' fault, not Mac's fault, the Bears' organization's a shit show. It was a good trade for the Bears.
Yeah, Khalil, he
is
Khalil, like in defense of Khalil, like he didn't really get Belichick or Tomlin, you know, or Pete Carroll, right? Like it's just, you know, Jamal Adams shows up to the fucking Seattle and all of a sudden they wins the division. He's in a playoff game, right? Yeah, it's just, there is stuff out of your control as a player. You get drafted by the Raiders, then you end up with the Bears, who, again, the Bears, we can nitpick them relative to the Raiders, right? They play in January.
Are we sure the Bears shouldn't have said, well, what are you offering?
Their problem, though, is they're still their best player, so even if they get a first and a second, like, what does that necessarily do for them besides cap?
Yeah, you know, I would have wanted more. I mean, what if I had said, give me Derek Carr? At the time, give me Derek.
Yeah, because this call would have happened probably in March.
And a one. And now it's weird, right? Because you're the Raiders. It's this scenario. It's hard to come up with something that works there because I think you could trade Derek for a one. So Derek.
But then who's your quarterback?
Yeah. Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I would imagine that would have been like, yeah, we'd think about doing the trade for Derek Carr. The irony is like Derek and Khalil were buddies and then they're getting traded for each other.
I would not do that deal if I were the Raiders. I would not trade Derek.
Would Khalil want to come back to the Raiders?
No.
No chance.
No. Now you do that deal. See, it's hard to do because you would have, like you said, you would need Russell, but you'd probably need Derek in order to get Russell, or you'd want Aaron. Aaron would have made, you could have done it if it was Aaron. You could have traded Derek for Mac and gotten Aaron Rodgers because you wouldn't have been sending a quarterback back to the Packers.
You're saying if you just did straight up Khalil Mack for Derek Carr?
Yeah, like you'd be, maybe you got to throw, which side has to throw something in, or does neither side throw anything in? Is that a player-for-player trade?
Well, it's weird because Khalil in a vacuum is the better player than Derek, but Derek's value is dramatically more just given that like they actually make close to the same amount of money and one guy's a quarterback.
If both of them were available, who would get more back for their team?
I feel like what would the Washington football team have paid to get Derek?
A one and two twos or so.
Yeah.
So okay, so you could have done the deal as part of a Rodgers thing.
Khalil went for 2 ones and a pick swap. Really should have been a 2 ones and a two. That's the going rate. In his prime, he's a little older now. I couldn't give up 2 ones for a 30-year-old Khalil Mack. Could I just give a 1 straight up for Khalil Mack?
Yeah,
probably, but even that, I don't feel great. I like getting a little younger player.
But the Raiders were in a desperate situation for a guy like him. So you go player for player, and then you do whatever it is you have to do for Rodgers.
Yeah, but remember at the time, Rodgers, I don't think, had told everyone that he hated Gutekunst, and doesn't feel like they hate each other anymore, so who knows?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You see Rodgers, I saw a clip, went viral. Did you see like a couple weeks ago on Instagram, him and Randall Cobb were posting like, go get him, bring him back. And it was just pictures of Clay Matthews with the Packers.
No.
And then everyone's like, oh my God, here he goes again. He's going to demand Clay Matthews. Rodgers was on Pat McAfee. He's like, honestly, we were fucking me, Randall, and a couple other guys. We were drinking. It was an off day the next day. And we were like, fuck, we FaceTimed Clay, and then we were fucking around, and I put it on. He's like, I do think he was being somewhat genuine. He's like, I didn't quite realize.
Just trying to like.
The next day, we were messing with Clay.
Messing with Clay, yeah.
Yeah, and then, because Randall had done it too, and then the next day, he's like, I wake up, and my phone was like, oh, you guys are, what is going on?
That's funny.
But I think you'd also push back. It's like, at this point, Aaron, anything you do, you have to realize like it's going to be taken seriously.
But luckily, that's a victimless crime right there.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's good. Sony Michel, you mentioned him, got traded. Let's hit some NFL headlines. There was that. The Rams don't just have one injured running back. Now they have two. Daryl Henderson's got a bad busted thumb. Every injury from here on the show, it's a busted something.
Well, I'd say an injury on the surface, you know, he walks off with the trainer. Whatever. It might, unless it's like immediately they announce broken thumb or torn, you know, broken ankle or whatever. But the moment you do this, you tell me everything I need to know. Like, if you just judge teams on their actions, like, let's say Kyle Shanahan. Well, if week one comes and Trey Lance gets 25 snaps and Jimmy gets 12, like, he can say whatever he wants. Jimmy could start the game. Like, we know who fucking he's going
yeah.
with, right? Like, I judge you on actions, not what you say. You just traded for Sony Michel. Like, you tell me that your running back room is not ideal right now. Obviously, you lose Cam Akers, but I would imagine this thumb thing is not nothing. Slash, maybe you go, God, I don't know if we can just go all season with this guy as our guy, right? You did that. You make trades in the preseason. Desperation might be the wrong word, but out of necessity. Whenever a trade is made, when you see a corner, just random names, like the Ravens traded, like that's not happening randomly. Like any trade happens because that team does not feel good about that position, 100%. It's just that simple. And I think the Rams, let's face it.
A fourth and a six, a fourth round pick.
Now, he was a first round pick and he was a starter on a Super Bowl team. Now, granted, that's a couple years ago. Most of his career in Detroit, they had good passing teams, right? They had Calvin forever. They got Golden Tate. They had Marvin Jones. They had one, another dude, I think, Cal guy. Like, they've been productive throwing the ball. You and I have been doing DraftKings stuff, I've taken a lot of Lions receivers. They always have a guy or two, like, can get you, you know, seven catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown. Like, he's never really had a good running game. Part of it was like, oh, he's coming to McVay. They're going to pound the ball. He'll be able to throw for 38 touchdowns because of it. Now, all of a sudden, like, are they going to be a little more desperate than you think running the football?
Yeah, but the question is, do they need, quote-unquote, great running backs?
We'll see.
I mean, you know.
When they were the best, when they were at their best, they had an elite running back.
Yeah. But
when the Niners have been at their best, like, Mostert kind of became a big boy player
yeah.
for like an eight-game stretch. Like, he
right,
was
but
unreal.
That's the point. It's like it wasn't a Todd Gurley, and it hasn't been you're getting 16 games out of this guy, the Niners.
But I think Mostert's a good example. We have to agree that he's a question mark because he can't stay on the field. When he's healthy and on the field, he's a fucking
player. Well, he is, but my right? point is the Niners still run the ball very effectively without him.
Yeah, I mean, they have expensive offensive linemen and George Kittle. Like, they have a better offensive line in the run game, I would say, than the Rams. And they have a dominant blocking tight end and a fucking highest paid fullback in league history. Like, they got a couple things going for them that just the Rams don't have.
They also, right? with Jimmy, don't have little, as much of a threat to throw as Matthew Stafford is.
No, that's where Trey Area comes
yeah.
in.
Yeah. No, it's. And the coach, I mean, it's. No, you're right. I didn't realize. Did you see there was like a hiccup in that trade? They had traded a fourth round pick that was contingent on them getting a comp pick, and apparently you're not allowed to do that.
No, I didn't
a conditional
see that.
Comp pick, basically.
I had a buddy who works for the Eagles tell me after their joint practices, he's like, "God damn, the Patriots running back room is stacked." He's like, "They must have like a couple guys I didn't even really have never heard of." Besides, they had Damian Harris. They got these two other kind of no-name guys. And Sony was like the fourth or fifth string guy. So part of the preseason is all your scouts, whenever it's like, hey, we need to look at corners and linebackers. Well, you go around the league and you go, well, what teams have the most depth of those positions? You rank them, and then you get together with your GM and your pro guy, and then your GM kind of works magic. right? So I bet they looked around the league, who's the deepest running back rooms, and then let's sniff around the running backs we would want. Well, they go, well, we had a huge grade on this guy. It's crazy. Sony Michel went in front of Nick Chubb. They were on the same team in college. And he was awesome, but now
Nick wasn't Nick coming? Didn't Nick have an ACL?
I think the previous year.
Yeah.
I think he was healthy coming out. Their senior year, they were both healthy.
John, apparently, a little fantasy advice. Apparently, this guy, Ramondre Stevenson, the Patriots' fourth-round receiver. I can't talk. Ramondre Stevenson, fourth-round pick out of Oklahoma, was taking all the snaps with the number twos on Wednesday. So maybe they really like this running back they drafted out of Oklahoma in the fourth round.
I think they like their crew. I think their style is going to be pound the ball, play D, and do sweet shit on special teams. That's Belichick and Mac and Cheese.
Me, might need to change that nickname. He goes 6-1.
You know what's funny is listening to Feldman talk with Russillo. It wasn't a guarantee in like SEC country that might have been aided by Corona. I don't know. But Bryce Love was like in the mix last year going into camp because he was an enormous recruit, got into school early. Like Mac Jones was not a lock starter.
Bryce Young.
I think
Bryce
for Young. Bryce Young. What do I call him?
Bryce Love.
Bryce Love. Bryce Young in the, I think in like the SEC kind of bubble of that. I mean, it's not a bubble. It's
but he had played well the year before when Tua got hurt, right?
No, I know, but I just think like Mac was still kind of fighting for his career and then boom, he's the 15th pick in the draft. Now he's starting in the NFL. There had to be people in Alabama who like, listen, I love Mac. He's awesome. At this time last year, if I would have said like, this guy is going to lead you guys to a natty, be unreal, and then he's going to get drafted 15th overall, and he might start week one. Like, Sark might have been like, yeah, that's probably a stretch.
Yeah.
Right?
Imagine being one of the guys at, like, East Carolina, I think that's where Gardner Minshew was, when you, like, you had a meeting, and you have the coaches meet. You're like, guys, I just talked to Gardner. He decided he's going to transfer to Alabama and become an assistant coach for Saban. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, good for him. Not going to miss him or some shit like that. And then he's like, oh, actually, Gardner's going to Washington State. Oh, actually, Gardner's thrown 37 NFL touchdowns. Those guys have to be mind blown.
Well, it's like you don't shake at a school like that. You don't shake that, right? Remember NC State when they told Russell, it's like baseball or nothing, or we're just going with Clinton. And then like 2 years later, it's like, that was the dumbest thing we've ever seen. And in fair, Glennon got drafted in the third round. He was a legitimate NFL guy. Now, he's not a good NFL player, but in their mind, they probably didn't think it was that crazy. Like, there had to be people at him in that room like, let Russell go. We'll go with Mike. That didn't work out well.
Yeah, they went.
You better be right when you make transcendent decisions like that at your
program. Here's the other thing. Like, you're right. Mike Glennon, good player. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. They went like, so he takes over for Russ. They go 8-5 that year.
And he at Wisconsin led them to the Rose Bowl, yeah. Right?
Now, Wisconsin's probably just a better football team, but still.
They are. Yeah, it's hard to shake. He goes to Wisconsin, leads them to the Rose Bowl. Now, he ended up going in the third round. It's not like he was a top 10 pick. I would say in 2021, where does Russell go? Lock first round, right? Character, people loved him. He was physically really gifted, played in a pro-style offense.
Yeah.
How would he not go in the first round? A lot's changed in a decade. Now, it worked out for him, but...
Also, easy to say, knowing what we know now. Like, what were his...
Well, a famous story was that people didn't think he was obviously going to be 6 feet tall. I mean, back then, not being 6 feet tall as a quarterback was unheard of. He measured in at, like, I think he hit 5'11 perfectly, or they announced 5'11 at his pro day, you know, on where he stands up against the wall. Every scout cheered. There's like a standing ovation when they're like 5-1-1-0, and it was like a standing ovation. Because in the scouting community, those guys, they all had, I would imagine, most of those individuals had enormous grades on them, right? And this, you go to a coach, You go, listen, I'd fucking take this guy at like the end of the first round. And they look at you like you have two heads. They're like, well, he's 5'10 and a half.
He went,
and they were just so proud that he could say 5'11.
He went from 58%, 28 touchdowns, 14 picks at North Carolina State as a junior, 73%, an uptick of 15% in his completion percentage, 33 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions.
At Wisconsin?
At Wisconsin. And his yards per attempt went up by 4 yards. Yards went down.
Yeah. It's one of the rare, because I'm numb to it's the wrong word, but I don't take, when you just give me the example of the transfer guy, transfers to me, when you come from you're at Boston College, you come to Oregon, right? I understand a Fields, Georgia, Ohio State, a big boy guy, even JT Daniels. But when little school guys end up at a bigger school, and maybe it's not fair on my part, I just don't take that guy as seriously. And I think it's rare that the guy goes smaller school to bigger school and then excels, right? Because Wisconsin obviously is a much, on the national level, a higher thought of program than NC State.
Right.
And he went there, because if he went to Wisconsin, think how many, now the transfer rules might have been a little different, but if everyone in the country knew how good Russell Wilson was, wouldn't a majority of teams open their doors for the guy for 1 year?
Absolutely.
Because I remember the ESPN did this behind the scenes thing, and Bielema was so happy to get him. It was a big deal. They went after him hard. They get credit for that, in my opinion.
But he was a good player at North Carolina State.
Well, exactly. That's the guy you say at Boston College,
Anthony
was
Brown.
That where he's from?
Yeah. Boston. Here's the other thing. Boston. If I'm going to look at Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator at Oregon, and how he's viewed as an offensive coach versus Boston College historically, I mean, Matt Ryan, since then, what do they do offensively? Who do they have around?
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe Moorhead knew him coming out of high school and liked him, right? Who knows? Maybe one of his coaches did and they had a connection. So it's probably unfair of me to think like that, but I just naturally do.
Okay, AJ Green? Any interest in that, or do you want him?
Well, I just think that Lewis has been hyping him up and blowing
him. Nate Burleson called him comeback player of the year.
Yeah, it's every year, a couple AJ Greens, everyone's blowing. Give me a break. I think the Cardinals, my take right now, I think the Cardinals win 6 games. I think they turn out to be a disaster.
I think they got a problem on their hands with Kyler, potentially.
I think they got a major problem. And they got a couple guys that...
Even Steve Young said something the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, he's I had a veteran player tell me that he needs to grow up on and off the field. I'm just out on their operation. I think they're screwed.
Here's the thing about comeback, John. He played, it'd be one thing if he was coming off the 2018, played 9 games, 46 catches, misses 19. But he played last year, 16 games. Had 47 catches, right? It's not like he's coming off the injury season.
In fairness to him,
I know, but
Burrow got
hurt. Okay, but did he lead them in catches? I doubt it.
I mean,
Boyd probably had more
catches. Might have 60 catches or 70.
Where's my receptions? Tyler Boyd had 79 catches. T. Higgins had 67 catches.
Yeah,
he has many catches as Gio Bernard.
Yeah, I'm out on
it. He had 7 more catches than Drew Sample. So my point is, we talk about him comeback. He came back last year. That was his comeback
year. Yeah. I had a wide receiver coach tell me if his name was A.J. Haberman, right, if he was not A.J. Green and just a random veteran guy, they thought he would have been potentially, out of the league. His tape was that terrible. He looked awful. But I've seen other people say the opposite. He looked really good. So it's agenda-driven. I mean, my guy didn't care.
Also, I think some of these guys, it's just a name. You watch at camp. You make some plays in camp. That's different than a...
100%. I'm just... I think they're off. I think they're going to be bad.
I do, too. I this Kyler thing could be bubbling. Daniel says A.J. Green had 100 targets. He had a historically inefficient season. That's a good call. He had 104 targets and 47 catches. Now... quarterback still, but other guys were
he's 6'4".
Tyler Higgins, T. Higgins had 108 targets, 20 more catches, so same amount of targets, 20 more catches. Tyler Boyd had 6 more targets and 32 more catches.
Not everything's probably way over his head.
John, sleepnumber.com/ham before we get to our big week three preseason season preview. Our friends at sleepnumber.com/ham. Sleepnumber.com/ham. You got a better night's sleep.
Yeah, I got one. I have a fantastic night's sleep last night on my Sleep Number bed. Go to sleepnumber.com/ham. Here's a way to get good night's sleep. Keep your room cold. Turn your phone off. Do not have your phone right in front of your eyes. And yeah, you know, drink some water before you go to bed. Get hydrated. Is that something you're supposed to do? I don't even know, but I do. Sleepnumber.com/ham.
Consistency, too, right?
Yeah.
Good sleep increases energy, increases focus, increases mood, increases memory, increases problem solving, increases creativity. It helps your body recover faster. All these guys wearing their wristbands. Why? They need sleep recovery. It tells them how much sleep they need, all the golfers, right? Decreases anxiety. You want 7 to 9 hours, and folks, you're going to need it to get ready for this football season. So right now, discover proven quality sleep. Go to sleepnumber.com/ham. Get your Sleep IQ technology. Get locked in for football season. Why not? Check it out at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/ham.
Do it. Sleepnumber.com/ham. Okay.
Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men aged 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I got to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required, and now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look, I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Okay, so how do you want to, what do you got? How many snaps of the preseason?
Well, you will not non-Raider Niner game watch live 40 snaps.
40.
Excuse me, 40's high. I was going to say 20.
Okay. So I'm going to pull up this.
And it doesn't count like if your TV's on, you're like walking around. I'm saying sitting there and watching the game. Zero chance. Because I haven't. You have. No one has. You haven't been watching these games. I haven't been watching. Nobody's been watching these games.
Can I find 20 snaps? I got the preseason schedule now in front of me.
Have you had a weekend yet, non-Niner game, where you watched 20 snaps? Not NFL.com, like sitting down and watching
the game.
I think
so. I mean, I watched the morning, last Sunday, the Browns game. That was an easy 8 snaps. So that plus I'd watched. I can remember specifically 3 Panther snaps. Friday night I watched some Raiders. So I was probably around 20. 20 is a good number. 20 is a good number by you. So can we find 20 snaps? Here we go.
Will you watch more snaps of these random preseason games, non-Niners Raiders? Or more pitches in the A's game on Channel 721 on Comcast.
Who they playing?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. That's a tight one. Depends.
Okay.
Depends. I might end up watching 5 innings. I can't. That's random. Yeah.
I do think they play the Yankees next week.
Oh, that's an easy watch. All right, I'm going to go day by day here. There's 3 days of games, and I'm just going to add it. We'll make it easy. How many snaps each day? So we start off on Friday, John. Friday night! We got Colts-Lions, we got Eagles-Jets, we got Steelers-Panthers, and we got Vikings-Chiefs. Of those 4 games, one is on NFL Network, which means I'd have to make the effort to go to Game Pass for one of those other 3. Is Wentz playing this week?
I would highly doubt it.
Okay. Eason intrigued me.
If he was, I would check it out like you.
Let's see. Eason, I could see myself. The other day I said Eason Ellinger. These guys stink. And someone's like, actually, Eason's been okay. So that could intrigue me. Eagles, Jets, I do like to check in on Zach Wilson. But so far, the first 2 weeks of the season, I've done that on NFL.com. Panthers, Steelers. I gave the Panthers my time last week. I'm not doing that again. Vikings, Chiefs. This is on NFL Network. Jake Browning could get some snaps. Chiefs, no reason to watch them. I'm going to give this day.
You just said Jake Browning.
This Friday from me will get, Colts are at 4. That's actually better on a Friday. So this day I'm going to allot probably 5 snaps to Friday between wanting to see a little Jets and wanting to see a little Colts. Okay, I got 16 snaps to go to hit the over. Now we're on to Saturday. We got Packers at Bills. We got Ravens at WFT. We got Bears at Tennessee. No interest there. We got Arizona at New Orleans. No thank you. We got Tampa at Houston. That's a hell no. We got Rams at Denver. Nah. We got Chargers at Seattle on NFL Network. Nah. 3 of these games are on NFL Network. Josh Allen's going to get a few snaps for the Bills. So
Jordan Love starting.
Yeah, so that game, just by nature of being 10 a.m. on a Saturday on NFL Network, I would say that's an easy. I could go like 20 snaps, but I'm not going to do that because I'm trying to be realistic here. You know, you could get a couple commercials and I'm out. So I'm going to allot like 9 snaps to that game.
Well, if I had to reverse back to Friday, yeah. Non-Mahomes snaps for the Chiefs, I think you'll be at 0.
No, I gave 0 snaps to the Chiefs even with Mahomes. I'm not watching any of that game.
No, I know, but I could see it being on your television. I'm just not even counting that. Those other 3 games where I don't think you'll watch one fucking snap. Not one. I feel pretty confident.
Okay, again, I gave it 6. I'm interested. I've been watching
I would go at 0.
Jets highlights. So
And I said, highlights do not count.
Next up, so
we're not 10.
Packers. Look, John, I could easily say over on Packers Bills just because it's 10 a.m. Saturday, but I'm probably not going to get 20 snaps can be like 35 minutes.
But it'd be pretty easy to get that. You're right. It's the Saturday 10 a.m. kickoff. It is easy to get 30 minutes of the game as a consumer, right? You just sit there. It's on. If Josh Allen's playing and Jordan Love, you're like, I'll watch this.
It'd be a little easier like 9 a.m. for me, but again,
you'll just turn it off. I don't know your watching habits. I just know I know humans, and I know you're not watching this shit.
We're not asking for that. Again,
because I'm not alone.
But to me, I could easily watch 25 Jets. I'm sorry. Bills. Packer snaps. But I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. But I do think that'd be plausible. You're sitting on your couch. You're having a cup of coffee.
But I'm going to play it conservative here for the purpose of this exercise. And I'm going to say that I only watched 10 of those snaps. So now I'm up to 15.
And I think non-Mahomes, that would be the start of your watching, would be Saturday morning.
Watching Mahomes in the preseason, I'm not watching that.
I was watching it the other day, though, when he played the Cardinals. It was pretty sweet. They were trying to score touchdowns.
Again, I'm not watching that. I know what that looks like. Sunday, Jacksonville at Dallas, 10 a.m. NFL Network.
There's no chance. I won't
NFL watch Network, 10 a.m. I'm just walk out in the living room, turn the TV on. So there's a chance you watch a little of that. Miami, Cincy, CBS at 1. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have two TVs on. The Niners, Raiders are also at 1. Patriots, Giants that night, no. Browns, Falcons, while we're doing the podcast that night's on NBC, so... Little Josh Rosen. John, I'm going over. Not by much. I think this was you really made me think on this. But to me, Jags Dallas at 10 a.m., of course I'm going to watch a little bit of that. So I'm going to be over 20 snaps, but I don't think by much. That was compelling stuff there.
Can you admit the preseason fucking terrible?
Of course.
Well, we don't need to
I'm not been arguing. I'm not arguing with you about it. But it's a lot of content. I watch a sliver of it, but I do watch a sliver of it.
Sliver would be... How many, up to this point, non-Niner game, live snaps have you truly just sat there and kind of taken in? Honestly. On television.
Browns on Sunday morning, I watched probably... it was on for a while, but I watched probably 15 snaps. More interested in Joe Thomas.
It was bad. I tried to watch. I got about two snaps in. I'm like, this is terrible.
But then they're like, oh, look, Joe Thomas is interesting, so I watched some of that. I told you, I watched three or four Panther snaps the other night.
Sam?
Some Darnold. They got in the red zone. Some Hall of Fame game. Not a lot, John. Not a lot. My argument is not that I'm going to watch a lot. That's not my argument.
I know. I think one thing I think we have done a great job of separating over the years is a lot of people on sports talk radio talk about sports that you can pay them to watch.
No, you literally have to pay them to
watch. We don't like. Yeah, and even when you pay them to watch, they don't have the time. We just talk about what we like talking
about. That's
right. And I do feel it's a little fake when we do. Not as fun. There's only three. Hopefully we go to two fast.
But to me, what it's about, if we're having, to me, what it's about is just let's go, trying to kick ourselves in the ass a little bit.
I know, but we're doing it, but we're not going to watch it. So who are we kicking in the ass?
Well, that happens with college football all the time. It happened last year. They're being like, oh, we got a game. It's Jacksonville State and FAU or something. But
we've never faked pretending to give a fuck about D1AA playoffs or these shitty games. Even you and I have talked about specifically off air. As Fresno State lovers, when the Mountain West game or that type game will be on TV on a Friday night, it'd be like, I felt this was cooler a decade ago.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Bigger, big.
We don't pretend. Timer. I think that's what we hang. We don't pretend.
But I'll tell you what's going to happen is right now, what I was going to tell you, next Thursday, Ohio State plays Minnesota on Fox. There's Thursday night football next week, Ohio State, Fox.
But that's a real game.
I'm not saying that one's easy. Sunday night is Notre Dame, Florida State on ABC, Herb Street. Okay. Here's the one that I think might feel better than Monday Night Football a week from Monday, Louisville Ole Miss. I told you that one, all right. But am I really locking in on that game? Now, if it's the fourth quarter and it's close, different story.
It'll be on your TV. And I'd say that game specifically always has that kind of feel, that type team. It can be a Cincinnati versus North Carolina. On pay, and then you'll start watching. It won't be as good. But... we don't do an SEC show type deal. I don't have to fake pretending I'm in on Lane. I'll watch. But if the game sucks, I'll just go do my own shit.
Right.
But that's how I treat kind of college football, even on a Saturday.
Yeah, there's some
I just have
games
it on,
you gotta
I'm
watch.
I'm kind of locked in.
And
Yeah.
The rest of it is just, it's good that it's
and
there.
And some
it's
you come you to, it. Like, I'm not watching something, and then you'll just see on social media, like, you got to get over to this Wisconsin-Penn State game, right? That's part of not having a college team for Saturday. Like, I'm kind of a college football whore. Like, I'm just in on what's cool. So if, like, some game's historic tight or, like,
that's,
someone's
that's
like,
everybody
oh,
on earth, John. I don't watch stuff that's not cool on purpose. It's bad.
No, but I do think a lot of, like, you know, people that are listening to this that went to Arizona State or went to,
for sure,
you know, Texas A&M, or you don't miss your squad. Like, I don't have that. Like, last year, I don't care about Florida, but by, like, the second week, I see all these people like, you got to check out this tight end guy. And eventually, like, by that happens a lot with prospects on the teams, right? And then, you know, by week four or five, that's where we'll end up being like, God damn, look at that guy at Washington. How about that running back? Is he going to be the number one running back in the country?
Yeah.
That's what. That's how I gravitate in.
I think that's what a casual fan is. Now, you're just a hardcore casual fan. Not casual, hardcore.
And I am casual. Like, I do find, like, if Miami's on TV and just Tua's, like, I will. It's like, okay, let's see what this guy looks like a little bit.
And to me, that's part of the preseason, is I just want to see, like, what does Sam Darnold look like as a Panther? I don't need an hour of that.
But I think the preseason more than ever before, so many coaches now in the league don't give it any respect, the actual game. So you turn it on, and it's like Matt Barkley versus Josh Rosen. It's like the coaches are telling me they don't give a shit. As a consumer, I'm out. That's where if everyone treated the game.
See, I think I
watch
as little of the preseason as that's the same amount of preseason I ever watched before.
See, but like I was on my couch on Monday Night Football when they played it on Friday, and it was Kyler versus Mahomes, and for like three series, the game felt real. Yeah. Mahomes is trying his ass off, running around. It's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't have to fake that. But the moment he comes out, I'm out.
See, Mahomes, it's funny. We're different because Mahomes doesn't do anything.
I think that's how most
Mahomes doesn't
are.
Do anything for me in the preseason. Because I know what it is. It's great. Like, I want to see the stuff I haven't seen before.
I know, but he's fun. Like, I watch the NFL for Mahomes, not for fucking Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I get it. I'm saying I don't watch the preseason for Ryan Tannehill or the regular season for Ryan Tannehill. I watch the preseason for Sam Darnold in Carolina. What does the quarterback look like that's backing up Andy Dalton in Chicago? Trevor Lawrence. Like, that game the other night, I watched as much as Trevor Lawrence played. Because that was interesting to me. That's what the preseason is for me. Like, new faces, new places.
Yeah, rookie quarterbacks are cool. Rookie highly drafted quarterbacks are cool.
You know,
one like that's.
I'm not sitting around on the Eagles going like, "What are they going to throw to Devontae Smith?" But if when Devontae's in the game, like I'm watching the Eagles until Devontae's done playing because I want to see if he does something.
Yeah, like in the Bears game, like Justin Fields starts, so that's on NFL Network. Like I'll peek at that.
Yeah,
but it takes to me star quarterbacks to get me involved.
I'm not watching for the first round nose tackles. All due respect.
But you're not, but as we said, you, me, as most people aren't watching, right?
Yeah.
No one really is.
But there is still stuff that kind of interests me. It's just, I might be more interested in finding it in a 4-minute highlight or just searching Twitter and being like, Devontae Smith, what do you do? This has never been about me trying to convince anybody to watch the preseason.
No, I know. I hang my hat on talking shit. I can't pivot. But it's true. Like, I do find it very... I swear, though, I'm with you, Mahomes. Like, I don't need... It felt like, because their first drive, they went, like, 80, and they went for it on fourth down, and they missed. And even Lewis was like, you know, he had said he probably might just go one drive, and you could tell they wanted a touchdown, so they fucking brought Mahomes back in. Like, they got the itch. They're like, we ain't fucking coming out of this game.
See, it pisses me off when you watch the preseason, and it's like, fourth and one at the 50. Here comes the punter. Like, why?
Why, fundamentally, I would never punt. If my real... Like, I would save the punting for, like, the later quarters.
But I guess you do have to. Your special teams guys, like, can we get some punt protection, please? Because if we get it blocked week one, like, I get a bunch of shit. Nobody says the coach didn't let him punt in the preseason. All right. Well, once we've reached the point of preseason punting philosophies, I think we've reached the end of the show today.
Adios.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us. Check out the mailbag coming up next, and we'll be live on the Tube on Sunday.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.